What the Flux is brought to you by DeLoreanRental.com. If you're looking to rent a DeLorean time machine, DeLorean Rental has you covered. They have time machines all across the United States, the UK, Germany, France, Italy, and adding more cars daily. Check out all of their packages to see what would best fit your event at DeLoreanRental.com or call 708-292-0236.
Hi, everybody. This is Bob Gale, co-creator, co-writer, co-producer of Back to the Future, and you're listening to What the Flux.
Live from the former Institute of Future Technology in Orlando, Florida, you're listening to What the Flux.
Hey, it's Leah Thompson. What the Flux? Cool name for a podcast.
With your hosts, Caitlin Larkin and Eugene Schnee.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, freaks and geeks, tonight's episode of What the Flux is a truly fantastic special episode because right now, as we speak, in New York City, there's the opening of the show that we've all been waiting for.
What show, Eugene?
Bad Cinderella?
You know it! Bad Cinderella, folks! Finally! Bad Cinderella with Pauly Shore. We've been waiting for this one.
Oh, my God.
Is it that one?
Oh, I have no idea.
Hell no! It's Back to the Future, the musical. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What the Flock!
Yay! Hey! Like, Kermit the Frog! I love that. Oh my God, I love that.
With your amazing host here, as always, Mr. Kermit. Can I say Kermit?
I'm leaving that in. That's great.
Womp, womp. We have amazing host here, Eugene in the house. And of course, as always, the beautiful and talented Caitlin. Okay.
Hey.
Yes, finally. After all these months of praying and sacrificing and killing chickens and to make this show
here.
Whoa. Did I say that out loud?
Who are you calling chicken?
Hey, I like that one.
Thank you.
That was a good segue. We finally got the show, folks. We see her in America.
America.
Yes, in New York City, as we speak right now, the show is about to begin
It's happening right now.
It's happening right now.
So, as we're recording it, it is now June the 30th. It is 8:18 p.m. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the show has just started over there. And, oh, man, just seeing all of the pictures of all you guys out there that were able to make it. Some of our good friends are there. Jason's there. Eric is there. Yeah. Oh my God, the Hollers are there.
Yeah, Steve.
And so of course, Steven's there.
He's actually covering it, and we're going to be having him next week. He's going to be talking about his experience in the show. He's hanging out with the, I believe he was named the Usher of the Year. what's his name here? Mr. Bob.
Oh, Usher of the Year.
He's the Usher. He just wants to be called Bob.
Just Bob.
Yeah. He does a great job.
Sure does. I mean, he gets the crowd going.
Well, I mean, he just knows where every seat is. Of course, we're talking about our friend here from Bob Gale. We're pretty sure he doesn't work there, but he just likes to hang out. I mean, this man can do whatever he wants.
Yes, he can. And it's so great seeing all the photos that he's taking with people. He just seems like he's on cloud nine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like so proud, like a proud dad, you know. And he's so nice and kind to, you know, give autographs and take photos with people. And that just out of the kindness of his heart. Like, he could be charging people for this, but...
And people will pay for it.
Yeah.
But no, he's just hanging out at the gift shop. Again, we don't know if he's actually working there.
He's running the register.
If he's running the register, folks, you know, seriously, don't ask him for an autograph. Because, you know, he goes like, hey, you know, $13.95. Oh, what? Okay, autograph. Okay, then he gets... We don't want Bob Gale to get fired from the Back to the Future musical.
Totally.
I mean, that would just be bad.
No, but it's just so thrilling and so exciting, and we wish we were there with everybody, but...
We will be there soon. I mean, yeah. Now, technically, we do have to tell this to people. It is only rehearsals.
Yes, yeah. It's previews.
It's previews, technically. So it's the first night of previews for the musical. Technically, the actual opening is going to be in August.
Yes.
Now, for those of you who don't know about plays or Broadway or whatever, what is the difference between preview night and the actual opening night? During preview nights, pretty much anything can happen. Like, for example, it's kind of like, you know, if the car doesn't work, then
All right, let's figure
it out. You just keep going.
We just keep going.
Yeah, it's like technical rehearsals almost.
Hey, that's the word I was
with an audience.
With an audience. And sometimes the what you might see, they might change it too.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I don't know how you feel about this, Kayla. I think we talked about this earlier. I am not a fan of seeing the rehearsals because I like seeing the actual play.
I would like to see both, though.
Really?
Because I would want to compare, they changed that line. But the thing is, what I'm thinking is because they did all of that technical rehearsal out in the West End.
Correct.
You know, that was what Manchester was for. Before they went to the West End, they were in Manchester.
Correct.
So I'm wondering if much will change from technical rehearsals and previews now to when it opens officially on Broadway in August. Cool. I have a feeling it probably won't change much.
It probably won't, but I can also understand, especially with those of you who have seen it, what they do with the car and that ending.
Rub it in.
I can definitely understand why they're doing what they're doing. So there's going to be a lot. We're going to be talking tonight's episode, What the Flux. It's actually a special episode because we're going to dedicate this whole episode to the Back to the Future musical, New York Style.
Yeah. Oh, man. You didn't tell me this was going to be New York. Hold on. I have my New York Mets sunglasses right here.
There you go.
These on as like a true New Yorker.
Like a true New Yorker. There you go. Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about the show. We're going to talk about, and more important, the cast. There are two familiar faces that you're probably going to hear and people are going to see in this show. There are some very big risks that they took with some of the cast, and we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about what is more fun than the show. Shopping!
Merchandise!
Where the real money comes in.
It's true.
It's true. In the words of Betty and Wilma, charge it.
that's good.
That's right. We would like to dedicate a minute of a silence of those friends of ours that are going to be broke after watching this show.
Oh my God! I keep thinking of Eric and Eric Tate. If you don't know, he's the gentleman who has the Collect Back to the Future Facebook page.
Yep.
And that guy's collection is insane. And I know for a fact that he is legit buying one of everything to take home with him.
I would not be surprised if this man even buys a chair from that place.
That would be epic. That would be so epic.
But before we talk about all of that,
yes,
we have a special Back to the Future news. So we're gonna do our intro because we only have one very important news to talk about.
Yes.
And it actually has to do with a little movie that you guys might like. You want me to give you a clue?
Please, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's about this kid.
Yeah.
And this old guy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Dennis the Menace?
You know it. Back to the Future News in 3...
2...
1...
Hey, Dr. Sting. This is tomorrow's newspaper.
Could I go to the library and look myself up in the old newspaper archive?
So, for Back to the Future News this week, honestly, there's not much going on other than, you know, we are talking about the musical, so that's basically...
Well, we gotta...
That's what's going on. But after our mighty return to the podcast airwaves, I received this excellent voice memo, which you can send us voice memos, by the way, if you want to be featured on the show as well, to whattheflexpod@gmail.com. And I'm very happy to welcome back DeLorean Wolfgang.
It's a badass name.
I know.
Hey, What the Flux? This is your old pal, Alexander Wolfgang, or DeLorean Wolfgang, host of the Secondary Heroes podcast and former winner of the prestigious What the Flux Friend of the Week. I'm calling in today to say I am happy to hear your voices again. I feel it's been too long and I couldn't be happier you're back. We've been longing for more Back to the Future news and just fun stuff with you guys. Anyways, Caitlin, in the last episode with writer Rich Hanley, you mentioned you're not a big fan of Star Trek, which is understandable, but if you're ever wanting to find a fun way to ever ease into Star Trek, watch The Orville. It's heavily influenced by Star Trek, and it's super fun. I actually really love the show, and I can see the parallels between the two shows. It's on Hulu. Yeah, it's super good. One last thing before I go. San Diego Comic-Con is right around the corner. And, of course, I have to ask, will you two be heading this way for some SDCC fun? If so, my DeLorean has an open seat. I could always use a passenger through time or on Fifth Avenue. Thanks for coming back and excited for more Back to the Future content. Your friend in time, Alexander Wolfgang.
I'm down with SDCC. You know me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to go. But yeah, Eugene's going.
I'm going to San Diego. Well, do I even fit in that car?
You're going to have to scrunch up, like, so tight.
Like
a little ball.
It's going to look like a clown getting out of my
tall.
Oh, my God. I'm excited. Yeah, Mr. DeLorean, I will definitely contact you. I would also like to meet him in person.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I actually even got tickets for the Jurassic Park thing that they're doing over there.
What are they doing?
Oh, it's something big. It's a whole thing. It's kind of like what they did with the tribute store here.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
It's gonna be fun. San Diego Con is gonna be fun. I'm gonna be a reporter for What the Flux over there, talking about, you know, interviewing people. I hope I can see some really cool Back to the Future cosplay. It's gonna be fun.
And to go to your earlier topic, Mr. DeLorean Wolfgang, I actually am a huge fan of The Orville. Angela and I love that show so much. And I think the thing that differentiates it from Star Trek for me is that you have that Seth MacFarlane humor. And also, I don't know if you knew this, DeLorean. I hate calling him DeLorean. Hey, Alex. is that the Admiral on the show is Admiral Halsey, which is a total tribute to the Paul McCartney and Wings song, Admiral Halsey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so.
Look at that. If you're a Beatles lover and a Back to the Future lover, well, today was your lucky day.
Yeah, there you go.
There
so
you go.
I love that show so much. It's so funny, and it also gets you right in the feels. It's so well done, and I really hope it comes on for another season.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, that's all we have for Back to the Future news.
Not really.
No?
No, because we're going to jump into our DeLorean, and we're going to go to the future.
Hell yeah.
We're going to July 3rd.
Yeah.
July 3rd.
July 3rd. That's right. It is the 38th anniversary of our favorite film, and also the 38th birthday to my beautiful wife.
That's right, because it was her birthday.
That's right. July 3rd, 1985. I married a woman who has the same birthday as Back to the Future, and that's how I knew that she was my density.
it doesn't get more nerdy than that.
Oh, no way. So happy birthday, my love.
The only thing I could think of is if her name was Lorraine, but... That would never happen.
No, thank you. I'm
no,
good.
No, thank you. Well, of course, now we're going to go back in time.
Yes.
To July 3rd, 1985, when it was the opening date for this little movie. This little independent movie called Back to the Future that came out.
Independent film.
obviously, we all know the hassles, the troubles, the stories, the Eric Stoltz.
Released the Stoltz cut.
I know.
We haven't said that in a long time.
Oh, you know who released the Stoltz cut?
Huh?
The Flash movie. You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it?
Okay, so here's my thing about the Flash movie.
Ah.
Do I need to know anything about the Flash?
Not really.
Because I want to see it because I want to see Michael Keaton. That is the only reason I want to see that movie.
They talk a lot about Back to the Future, too.
Really?
Yeah. Eric Stoltz is actually... Like supposedly in the time that they go, Eric Stoltz was still in Back to the Future.
Art, no.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. Nope.
Okay, now I really have to go see that movie.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You don't have to know everything. And they kind of like give you a little explanation about it.
Because like, I don't really like a lot of DC stuff. Batman is the only exception. That is the only DC
like
superhero that like I'm really attached to.
And the Supergirl, she was actually really good. She was really good. Flash, you know, It was like, you know, if It's an entertaining movie.
Okay.
But what's cool about it, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, that when he goes into this different time zone, different time period, Eric Stoltz is still Marty McFly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they actually do that.
Oh, man. We'll have to, I'll have to see the movie, and hopefully we can talk a little bit more about that.
So what's really cool about this is the fact that when Back to the Future, actually, a lot of people forget, was an instant hit from the get-go as soon as it premiered. This little movie during this opening weekend made $3.6 million.
Man.
Then the following that they made even after that, that was just during like the opening Wednesday and Thursday, because remember, we opened it during for the July 4th celebration.
Right, right.
Following that, it made an extra $11.3 million.
Whew.
I know.
Okay, so hold on. I want to do something really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. How much did it make again on
During the opening Wednesday and Thursday alone, it made $3.6 million.
All right, I want to convert that.
2 days.
What that would be now.
Okay.
Hold on, I have to type it into Google. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay. So it made $3.6 million during the opening Wednesday and Thursday alone. That's just 2 days.
That's amazing.
Then after that, it made 11.3. So you can sum it up and add that. Now, it beat, during that time, obviously, it became the number one movie. It beat movies like, remember Cocoon?
Sure.
Yeah. Ron Howard directed that, right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It also beat Pale Rider. And it also beat the children's favorite, Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay, so I just got the conversion to what 3.6 million would be now.
All right.
10,175,252 today.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Not bad. Not bad for a little movie about a car that can travel in time. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
During the fourth weekend, it got booted down to number two because National Lampoon's European Vacation beat it for that 1 week.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of all the vacation movies, that one's not even that great.
I know, but it did. But keep in mind, this was only in its fourth weekend.
True, true, true.
But guess what? What?
What, Mr. Ryan?
After that week, the movie went to number two, but then it began. It regained its position as number one again the following week, and then in its fifth weekend, you know, four weeks number one. Then that fifth week went to number two, and then after that, it stood number one for 8 weeks.
That's
insane! Oh my God. Insane! Like the impact.
That's just 3 months of awesome.
Yeah, the impact that this little movie had in that time. I mean. No wonder a lot. I mean, even with a movie that has all its flaws and whatever. I know that Bob Zemeckis hates the part with the hand. It's so funny because he could tell in his face like, oh. And then the whole thing with Crispin Glover done, like in the ending of the movie that, you know, if you don't have money, you're not happy, whatever.
Right.
But a lot of us still consider that movie perfect because it was such a... And I think that's the problem that we're missing nowadays. It was original. It was fun. It was exciting. Don't you remember try to remember the last time you went to a movie theater and you were so excited. You got out... Like, you were watching this movie and you were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, that's exciting.
Honestly, I don't know if I've ever really had that kind of theater experience because all of those movies...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Lion King when I was four.
But that's the thing. It has to be something when you're an adult. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
You know, and
not in my adult life. And I turned 18 in 2007. No, it's never happened. Where I've been genuinely excited and like, oh my God.
And that's the thing that I feel bad for this generation because at least I got to see the movie in the theater.
Yeah.
And it was such an, you know, that crowd. I mean, there are things that I was...
Well, you were a kid.
I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
So I remember it very well. And I actually saw Back to the Future in German, which is kind of creepy.
That's pretty funny.
If you guys thought in English it was pretty stressful, Doc, this is how do you know?
Wait, can you say a line in German?
like schnell, 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 schnell.
That's hysterical. Oh my God.
It was so funny. But, and then you watch it in English, you're like, oh, he's not that angry.
Germans are just intense.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a joke in the new Indiana Jones movie that Indy Harrison Ford says about you'll see when you see the movie. And
yes, I go see it tomorrow.
I don't want to spoil it because I know the movie just started, but there's a joke that he says about it was funny.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
A couple other interesting things I want to just talk about. July 3rd, 1985, when the movie premiered. A couple of the songs that were very popular, you know, you and me used to work at Hard Rock.
Yeah.
So Music Is Our Life. A couple of the songs that were popular back then were Su Studio by Phil Collins.
Su Studio. Yeah. I actually really love that song.
I do too.
It's so lame. And one of my favorite things about that, if you didn't watch enough Behind the Music, I've got you covered. So Phil Collins had the song and he had the melody, but he couldn't think of a name to go in that spot. You know, like Carol or, you know, something stupid.
Broccoli.
You know, so he made up Studio because it fit the melody. And it doesn't matter that it's such a ridiculous sounding name. It works.
It's catchy.
It's so catchy.
It's catchy.
Damn you, Phil Collins.
Damn you, Phil Collins. Heaven by Bryan Adams. That's nice. A good song. View to a Kill, Duran Duran.
Okay.
Raspberry Beret by Prince.
I've had that song stuck in my head all week this week because I heard it in a TikTok.
Dude, that's awesome.
And it's been stuck in my head.
And Angel by Madonna, which nice. We heard that she's in the hospital, so hopefully.
She's home.
She's home now?
She's back home and she's stable. Okay. So.
Wishing her a speedy recovery.
That's scary.
Yeah, we want to make sure Madonna's good. TV. We had a couple of good things going on the TV. Last of Summer Wine. I've never heard of
that. I don't know what that is.
I know your wife likes this one. The Love Boat.
Does she? I don't think my wife has ever watched The Love Boat. I don't know. We've never talked about it.
Sorry, that was very sarcastic. Miami Vice.
Ah, there you go.
Phil Collins again.
Yep.
Because he did what? Mike Tyson's favorite.
Yeah.
That was a good show. I actually like Miami Vice.
I've never watched it.
It was so cheesy and so, like, you know, you see all the outfits. I remember my brother trying to sport the look for Don Johnson with the beard.
The 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, 5 o'clock and hanging out with this pink pants and everything. No socks.
The only reason I even know about Miami Vice is because of the movie The Wedding Singer. That was my introduction to it. Yeah, that was way, like, not of my time. So.
That's funny. Fashion, for those fashionistas out there. The big thing for men was Hawaiian shirts and flannel suits.
Okay.
I'm sorry, flannel suits. I was like, okay. For women was long sweaters, fishnet stockings, fingerless gloves, and jumpsuits.
Madonna.
Exactly. Which they still use today, to this day.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, I kind of dig that look. I when I see girls, like, especially with, like, they do, like, that. Dress like that 80s look.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
No, it's cute.
That's cute. Games that were more popular during that, it was Tetris, which is still
the best. Tetris is still the best.
Yeah, that's like the number. Cartoons. The Littles. I don't know. Do you remember that?
I don't know that.
You don't know that? If you know that, you're old. G.I. Joe. You know that.
Everybody knows G.I. Joe.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
We're the Chipmunks.
That's right.
C-H-I-P-M-U-N-K.
That's right.
We're the Chipmunks. Man, that show was the bomb.
That's right. And for those of you, we said Alvin and the Chipmunks, not the Chipmunks.
Like, oh, wrong. No, that was the one that was in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, don't be making me think that I messed up.
No, you did good. But you know what was the number one cartoon?
Huh.
Transformers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And toys, for those toys aficionados out there, the big thing was the Commodore 64, which was like the...
Mm-hmm.
And the My Little Ponies.
My Little Pony.
Those are, which I forget the term. It's like they do conventions.
Bronies.
Like, bronies, that's right. So if you have any bronies, we salute you. That means hello.
Oh, does it? Thank you.
Listen, I know my bronies, okay?
Oh, okay.
But now we're going to talk about a little musical. We're going to talk about Back to the Future. Now, we did an episode.
Yes.
Well, we did talk about the episode, but obviously about the musical.
We've done several episodes where we've talked about the musical.
So we don't really have to go into all the details. You guys know what's going to happen. This is not... it's not a remake. It's obviously it's a different way to see Back to the Future. And when you see the show, obviously I don't want to spoil anything, but you get to see, because it to bring the whole element of the movie into a play, it's practically impossible. So, I mean, you know how big of a stage you need to fit that big band of Doc Brown, you know?
Sure.
So there's the way they did it was perfect. The good thing about this musical, and I think this is the part that I'm so excited for you to watch this.
Yeah.
Remember when we were talking earlier that when was the last time you sat over something and you got excited?
You said a movie.
Yes. Well, obviously, we haven't seen that. But this will be the closest thing for you for that.
Yeah.
Because even though you've seen the movie, even though you've seen pictures and everything, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's the beauty of this. They knew what they were getting themselves into. And one of the things that I want to quote the director, I want to make sure I say his name right, John Randall, because I almost say John Rambo.
Give him blood.
No, John Randall, the director for this musical, he said that one of the things that he wanted to do was to bring that element of excitement again. And that, and again, even if you're not a fan, like my friend when I went to in England to see it, she wasn't a fan of the movies.
Right.
But she loved it. She loved the play. And she was just like, this is amazing. And I think that's what's going to feel as close to it being excited again, to seeing something. So I'm excited for you to see
it. Yeah, this. I really hope I get the opportunity to go and check it out.
So we're going to talk a little bit this. It's actually being featured in the Winter Garden Theater.
Yay.
Director John Randall. John Randall. I did get it right. I don't want guys starting getting letters. So Eugene said John Rambo. You don't know your story.
You could just say, you know, oh, I have a thick accent. Sorry.
Exactly. Choreography by Chris Bowley. Music by Alan Silvestri, our buddy Alan Silvestri.
Okay, so every time I post something on our What the Flux social media pages, and he likes it, it makes my heart so freaking happy. And I'm just like, when are you going to come on the show?
You know he wants. He's just shy.
No, he's a busy guy. He's a busy guy. And I'm sure after all this settles down,
he'll do it.
I think we'll have a chance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he will be I.
Oh, yes. He will be ours.
Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard did an amazing, obviously, take on the music for this.
Also, quick congratulations to Glenn Ballard for being inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yes, congrats to our boy. That's right. And, of course, we got the classics like The Power of Love, Johnny B. Goode, Irv Angel, and, of course, Back in Time. That was done by Huey.
Huey.
Exactly. The cast, we have an amazing cast as well. We have Roger Bart from, you know, he did the Doc Brown in England and came back here. We have the newbie, Casey Likes.
Yeah.
You know who else likes it?
Mm.
Casey.
Yeah, I guess he does. That was such a bad joke. You loser.
You loser. If Casey likes it, it's gotta be good.
Oh my God, it's like Mikey from Life Cereal.
Ah.
He likes it, he likes it.
He likes it, yeah, Casey likes. Hugh Coles playing George McFly. Again, everybody agrees that he stole the show, and it's true, and you'll see why. We also got a couple newbies. We have Liana Hunt, Jelani Remy. Liana Hunt is actually playing Lorraine McFly. Jelani Remy is playing Goldie Wilson. Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Mayor.
And Marvin Berry. Nathaniel Hawkman is playing Biff. Actually, have you seen his picture?
Okay, I was just going to bring this up. Oh my God. He looks just like Tom Wilson.
He does, which is scary.
Like, it's so scary that they were able to find an actor, because no offense to the guys in England, they didn't look like him.
No. And this guy's tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the promo photo with him in it, and I was just like, holy shnikes.
Yeah, he is. It's heavy. That's heavy.
It is heavy.
We got Mary David James, Strickland, and Michaela Cicada. Beautiful woman. Michaela Cicada is Jennifer. We're going to talk a little bit about them real quick. I'm just going to tell you something. Because, again, you know, I consider, like, all Fluxies are, you know, we're kind of like a Back to the Future family.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the Fluxies are like, who the hell is this guy? I'm like, well, we're going to tell you. So, obviously, Roger Bart, American actor, September 29, 1962. He actually, obviously, as we know, he won his Tony.
Okay,
I wanted to say
you
that.
And I, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going, at some point, I'm going to just pull that audio clip of him going, Tony,
we should
Tony,
do that.
Because we say it so much.
And we need to do that.
We need to just press a button so it goes, Tony.
Because you know we're going to have him in this show, and we're going to play that.
Oh, my God.
Because he's going
to
win that.
If we were to ever get Roger Bart on the podcast.
We shall.
I don't. It would be like when we had Bob Gale and I was shaking in my boots.
Well, you better know your Snoopy because he won the
Tony. Yes, he did.
He won the one. People always go like, wait, he won
the
Tony?
Yeah, you're
a
good man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, it's actually, I never saw that.
Me either.
I got to talk to my guy. He finds movies.
Ah.
Wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge.
See if I can find that one. That was actually in 1999. He also got nominated for playing Carmen Gia.
One
of the producers. Obviously, which he also brought to the... He also played him in the movie.
Yep.
The wonderful, wonderful The Producers. If you guys have never seen either the play or the movie, you have to.
Yes, it's
highly recommend.
One of my favorites.
You'll see why Roger Bart is amazing.
So talented.
He also, for those Disney fans, he also did the song Go to the Distance in the 1997 Hercules movie.
I can go the distance.
He sounds better than that.
Yeah.
we couldn't afford Roger, so we had to
kill
it. He actually got nominated for an Oscar for that. And for a Golden Glove and an Oscar.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. Somebody else won. Boo.
Boo.
He was also the voice of Teenage Hercules.
Ah.
I didn't know that. He was also in a couple movies. He's been obviously in The Producers, as we said. American Gangster.
Yeah.
But my personal favorite, Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Nice.
You remember you've
seen
that
I've
one?
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. He's hilarious. It's a really good movie. If you like stoner movies and you know dumb movies, it's funny. And of course, he's been in a couple of shows from the George Carlin Show. You remember that?
I mean, I know who George Carlin is, but
Law and Order,
yes,
The Blacklist, and one of my personal favorite shows, Sunny in Philadelphia.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Casey Likes, which apparently he's also working at the gift shop today.
Yeah.
Him and Bob Gale are like just going everywhere, man.
That's awesome.
I know. Casey Likes, this guy was born in December 25th, 2001.
Oh, he's just an itty bitty.
He's just a baby.
He's just a baby.
He's from Chandler, Arizona. Look, this guy is amazing for being so young. An award winning and critically acclaimed. I don't know if he actually made that up, but he's got some stuff. Actor, singer, writer, director, producer. Maybe plumber? I don't know.
What
can he do? I mean, this man can do everything. This man can dance and do your taxes at the same time.
That's impressive.
I'd pay to see that.
I would.
I don't know if you guys know, but he was actually in Almost Famous. That's
yes.
Pretty much. Not anymore. Now he's...
No.
He's completely famous.
Yeah, well, it's... it's crazy how unsuccessful that show was. It got pulled right away.
I don't get it. I actually saw it.
And
it
was, you did?
Yeah, I did. I love Almost Famous, the movie.
I love the movie, but the musical, like...
Well, I didn't see it in person. I saw it because, you know.
Ah, because your guy with the connects Gotcha.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Bootleg.
Oh! We do not say that word in here, young lady.
I was just sneezing. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Such an ugly word. Anyway, we do not support that here.
No.
No.
Totally. No way.
No. Okay. this guy's been performing since the age of 3.
Wow.
I know. He's done. He's been in a couple of films. Everything must go.
Okay.
He was the young Will Ferrell.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that. I was young and I grew up to be Will Ferrell.
That's saying much for Will Ferrell himself.
One of the things that I do actually remember Casey likes was because he's actually on a show that I'm pretty sure your wife will love.
Okay.
Creep TV. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, we've heard of it because it was featured in Halloween Horror Nights.
Before that, I follow... For those of you who don't know, Creep TV is actually in YouTube. And it's like almost like Tales from the Crypt. Like little short horror films. Very original. Very things. It's actually was created, I believe, by Eli Roth. And it's a very... with Blumhouse, actually, that they created this show. And it's little short episodes. They usually run 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And they're really good.
Yeah, what I've heard, they're really awesome.
And for being independent short movies, I guess, or short whatever, they're really, some of them are actually really scary. And the one episode, which I always like, was actually one that the case actually was. So check them out. Creep TV is really cool. Definitely something to... We're really excited. I mean, a lot of people were a little bit disappointed that Ollie didn't came here to the States to do Marty McFly. I will say that both of us agree that we're a little disappointed in that one because Ollie did... I got to see Ollie and he was fantastic.
He just fits the mold so well for Marty McFly.
He does.
He was cast very well.
But at the same time, I think we should all give Casey a chance.
Absolutely.
You know, if Bob Gale and all these people believe in this guy, and it's a big risk because, again, he's so young. And, like, you know, this guy literally has to do his show. And he has to go back home before 10 o'clock. Oh, because he gets grounded.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So, but I think, you know, when I saw him as Marty first, I was like, like the horse from Ren and Stimpy?
Mr. Horse?
Yeah. No, sir.
I don't like it.
But then I started seeing the fact that he went out, and like I said, you guys can see the pictures. He's actually out there welcoming guests. The main star of this play, because he is. Him and Roger are the main stars. And he's just outside welcoming guests.
That's cool. That's very wholesome.
Very wholesome, very humble. He's in the gift shop with Bob Gale just selling stuff. I thought it was like, so cool. So I think this guy might make it.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I wish him the best.
So. All right, next in line, Hugh Coles.
Ah, Hugh. That's my guy.
That's your guy?
I love him.
This man is unbelievable. For those of you who have seen the show in England, he steals the show. And no, I am actually kind of happy that they brought him here.
I'm so glad.
People can see why people are talking about. I mean, he got nominated in 2022 for the Laurence Olivier Award. And he actually won.
Laurence Olivier.
Oh, Laurence Olivier. Laurence, you want to say it? And then he won the 2022 What's on Stage Award for Best Supporting Actor for being this. So obviously this guy knows what he's doing. I actually remember him from the show Atlanta. I saw the show. I was like, oh, that's him. You know what I mean? Like when you say like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I felt like an investigator. Like. Like, you know,
I see.
So we're really happy that he's here. He's. I'm telling you, this guy's amazing. And how he does the mannerisms. But at the same time, he brings his own element. And he can dance.
Nice.
Yeah, he can dance. Then we have Liana Hurst. She's actually, this is her Broadway debut was as Sophie in Mamma Mia.
Oh.
You like that? Oh, I never seen that one.
I've Okay, so the only reason I saw the second Mamma Mia because it was playing on the airplane when Angela and I were coming home from England.
Oh.
So I've never seen the first one, but the second one was fantastic.
Well, there you go. She was playing Sophie there, Mamma Mia. Who's Sophie? Do you know who Sophie is?
The main chick.
Oh, so there you go. So she's like does something. There mm-hmm. you go. She's also played Catherine Plummer in Disney's Newsies.
Okay.
I heard that's really popular. So she's performed in stages all across the country. She's done Wicked. I know that's pretty popular. I've never seen that one.
I saw it when it came to Dr. Phillips.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. You planning to see Beetlejuice?
Oh, I saw it in New York. So.
Oh, you saw it? I liked it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's great.
Bryce Starr, part of the gang, and she also plays in a group right now. It's called Chiz. There's a Broadway meets like a sketch comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, she does that. So she's really good in improv.
That's a good skill to have.
I saw some videos of her doing improv, and she's amazing. And it's kind of funny because, you know, she's a really beautiful woman, and it's almost like a triple threat. You know, beautiful, talented, and she is funny. Like she.
We all love a funny, pretty lady.
That's right. So we can't go wrong with that. Then we got, now, this guy, he's got a tough job. Jelani, I hope I'm saying that right, Jelani Remy. He's playing Goldie Wilson and Marvin Berry. And for those of you who have not seen the show, he plays a bigger role here than in the movie.
Right, right.
And not just because of, there's one particular dance sequence and songs that he does. I'm not giving anything away because if you've seen their album, you know there's a song about him.
Uh-huh.
And how they bring that whole, you know, the dark time of America, pretty much. We don't do that. There's a segregation, everything. How he brings that element, but how he makes it into this music, how he makes you feel connected. And mm-hmm. I think of all, like I said, of all the songs that I heard that night, his was the best.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's got some big shoes to fill because the performer in England, whoo,
yeah,
he was amazing. So I, what did they say, a break a leg, right?
Yes.
You don't say good luck.
No, you never say good luck on opening night.
What is that? Why is that?
Oh my God, I know the reason for this.
But you don't know it now.
And I'm blanking.
Look at that.
I'm blanking under the pressure.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a
brain
fart.
Oh my God, my brother is going to kill me when he hears this.
Can you hear that? You just heard a brain fart live in a podcast, folks.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry.
Well, if you're Caitlin's brother, I feel sorry for you right now because you must be disappointed in your sister.
Yes, my brother, the actor.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointed.
Trust me, Caitlin's brother, I'm giving Caitlin the mean brother look right now.
We could just, you know, Google it, but I really don't want to.
No, because you know what? You fail.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway. So yeah, we're excited for this guy. He's actually a writer and director as well. He was in Gone Forgotten Year 2021 and Pride of Broadway backstage at The Lion King 2018. So almost relatively new guy, in the industry. So hopefully, you know, wish him the best. Then we got Nathaniel Hackman. He plays the can't say that here. Mr. Biff, of course, Mr. Tom Wilson's clone. Pretty sure he's his kid.
I mean, I've seen his kid.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like that.
No, yeah. We'll leave it at that. He's actually, okay, here's a shocking part. He was born in 81.
Okay.
I was like, wait, this is not a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. So he looks good for his age.
He's a grown-ass man.
I know. Les Miserables, he's been in Law and Order, and he's been in the BBC Oklahoma. So he's going to be playing Biff. He has a part in the show that he has to dance. I'm very curious how this very tall man can dance.
All right. Well, he must be able to do it if he's doing it.
He's doing it. Unless he managed to fool everyone and Bob is like, wait, what the fudge? What the flux? Merritt, next in line, we have Merritt David James and Strickland. This guy, now I'm going to tell you, now you're thinking to yourself, who the hell is this guy? But look at all his resume And you're like, damn, right? Wedding Singer.
Oh, the musical?
The musical,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
All these are musicals.
Okay, okay.
But he's played the lead on the musical.
Okay.
He's played Sweeney Todd.
Nice.
And so he was in Sweeney Todd. He was in Beauty and the Beast. He was in the Shrek the Musical.
Nice.
He was Lord Farquaad. Kiss me, Fiona. Catch Me If You Can. Mm-hmm. Phantom of the Opera. Ooh. And School of Rock. How the... That's a
he
hell
must
of
be good.
He, that's a hell of a resume right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're hired. What am I doing? I don't know, but you're hired.
That's probably how he got the job.
Yeah. You know why he... Well, why? He's a slacker.
It doesn't sound like he's a slacker to me with that resume.
That was a good joke, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay.
No. Keep whatever. Going.
All right, Corey. Sorry. And then, of course, we got Michaela Segada. I'm actually excited because she's Latin. Epa. Latin representation.
Nice.
She's in the show. She's actually playing Miss Jennifer.
Ah.
Jen, she's been a couple things. She's been in The Heights,
okay.
West Side Story, Legally Blonde. Never seen that. Isn't that the one, the Bend and Snap?
Yes.
Oh, my friend will be proud of me that I know that.
It's a great movie.
Never seen it.
Eugene.
I know. Sorry, folks.
I know some people think that Legally Blonde is like a chick flick. It's not. It's actually
not?
Legit funny.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. Is it wrong? Can we be real?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're picturing right now a What the Flux real moment.
Ooh.
I actually want to see the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
It looks funny.
Sure.
It looks so funny because it looks so dumb.
I'm excited to see Kate McKinnon as the screwed up Barbie.
Oh. It's just like, it's one of those things that at first I heard about it, so I was like, this movie sounds so stupid. And then you see the commercial, and you're just laughing.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the point.
I think that's the point. They know that they're not taking themselves too seriously. So anyway, and of course, we have to talk about the big guy in the room. You know what we're talking about, right?
Sure.
Who?
Oh.
John Rambo. John Rando, the director. He actually won a Tony Award.
Tony.
We should have put
that. I'm telling you, I'm going to make a sound where we can do that.
For, I'm going to try to say this with a straight face. For You're in Town, the musical, 2002. He got nomination for 2015 on The Town. I was in shock about this.
Okay.
Because I actually saw this play.
Okay.
I didn't know it was him.
Ah.
He directed the Toxic Avenger, the play.
Okay. Oh, I remember when that happened.
Yeah, the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, wasn't that like an all punk rock
kind
of thing?
Yeah. That was back in 2009. He also did one that I was in shock. I had to triple check this because I was in shock. I was like, that was a play of Jerry Springer?
What?
Yeah. Jerry Springer, the opera.
Aw, R.I.P.
It was R.I.P. It was off Broadway, but still the fact that there was something about Jerry Springer like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So you're telling me the Toxic Avenger, Jerry Springer, and Back to the Future has something in common.
Now that's a guy I want to hang out with. To bring all three of those things together,
it gets
that's
better.
A good man.
It gets better, but wait, there's more.
Ooh.
Penn and Teller. Remember when they were doing their show? He was the director. He did A Christmas Story, the musical.
Oh.
Yeah. You're right, kid. The Wedding Singer.
Uh-huh.
And I never heard of this one, but it sounds interesting. A Thousand Clowns.
Okay, I don't know that one either.
I don't know, but it sounds like a long story.
Hey!
No, woo! No, no.
Yeah, no.
Oh, dang, I made you dream of that. Whatever, I don't care. So that's your cast for this lovely play that's going to be happening. We're any comments, any surprises?
I'm really excited to, sign on to social tomorrow and see what everybody thought. So I'm pretty stoked, because all of our friends are finally getting to see this. I mean, yes, we've made a lot of friends out in the UK who have also seen it. But the anticipation, you know, the last couple of years of this going on, and now people finally get to go and check it out. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to what they have to say. I hope that you and I will get the opportunity because I honestly, like, I would love to go with you to this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And keep in mind that also, if you don't have a chance to see it in New York, it's going to be traveling.
Yes, it is touring starting the summer of 2024, so it may come to a city near you.
Yeah, so it, there's that chance too. Now, a lot of people are asking, is it going to be the same cast?
Oh, I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's not how touring productions work, sadly. No.
Would it make, a lot of people also ask, does it make a difference if you have another cast doing it and it's not the cast that, like, Roger and some...
It might.
It might a little bit because each actor brings their own element into it. But at the end, at the same time, you know, you're not there to see the actor. You're there to see the character. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, and I guess if they do it right, then...
Let's just hope that, I'm sure, you know, they've been putting 100% into this musical, whether it was out in the UK or here in the US, and I'm sure that the touring production will be no less, you know, worked on and thought out and cast correctly.
Correct.
Because they take a lot of pride in this. Like, they're not just going to put anybody in these roles. They have a lot of pride.
Oh, my
and
God, yeah.
They're not messing around, so I'm sure it'll be... I'm sure it'll be fine.
And that's, I think that's the one thing that everybody gets surprised about this play in particular. How serious they are about this. Like,
yeah.
You know, like...
Bob Gale basically lived in the UK for that run.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
He was there, like, 90% of the time.
Except the day I went. With his day off.
But, you know, that's how much, you know, they're taking care of this. This is their baby.
This is their baby. And it's nice that the legacy is continuing with a musical.
Yes.
Instead of giving us, I don't want to diss any movies out there. Have I mentioned the movie? No, right?
No.
I'm just saying that sometimes you have to know when to end a trilogy and... You know, don't squeeze more out of the movie or the characters because sometimes what worked in the 80s might not necessarily work now.
Exactly.
Have I mentioned the movie? I haven't mentioned anything.
Yeah, no. You could be talking about multiple movies.
I could be talking about any movie.
Because everybody loves a reboot these days.
Of course, because what else would I want to see than a movie about... Somebody that, oh, I used to like this guy, and oh, yeah.
And now you done screwed it up.
But I haven't mentioned any movies.
No.
Nope, nope. I'm not going to say it.
Nope.
Okay.
Anyway,
if you want to hear the name of the movie, buy a shirt, and I'll tell you.
There you go. Yeah, and you can buy a What the Flux t-shirt at whatthefluxpod@gmail.com. Not gmail.com. Oh my God, Caitlin, you're tired. Whattheflexpod.com is where you can buy t-shirts.
Let's talk about the good stuff, the merchandise.
Merchandise.
So I had a chance to see some of this stuff. It looks amazing.
Oh my God. Now, the pictures of the gift shop.
It looked really cute. It looked really cute. Of course, they have the vinyl.
Yeah.
And music and everything like that, which we always recommend. They have a hoodie with a We Don't Need Roads hoodie.
Yeah.
Zip hoodie. It looked good. I liked it. Didn't love it, but I liked it. Mm-hmm.
You got the regular cast t-shirt.
Yeah. But what I do love.
Yes.
The Back to the Future Clock Tower tote bag.
Yeah.
That looks sick. That was good. And they also have an ornament. I thought
that
ornament. But the Clock Tower tote looks so good. And of course... What our buddy Eric bought, the skateboard.
Oh, my God. So they've got skateboard decks. You know, it doesn't have any trucks or wheels on it. It's just the deck itself. And, man, I would love to have that signed by the cast and, like, hanging up in
my house.
That
would be very cool.
That would be so sick.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea. I bet you Eric probably had Bob Gale sign it.
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
He has to. Yeah. We'll have to talk to him.
I saw a picture. If it wasn't him, it was somebody.
Somebody. Well, Casey probably was there signing it. Yo, man, you got a show to do. Oh, yeah, I got to go. They looks really good. Obviously, they have the shirt as well. Somebody asked me, do they do special merchandise for opening nights like this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Not really. It's not like one of those things that...
But the interesting thing is, you know, they have that, they have the shirt with the, you know, with, oh my God, why am I blanking, with Roger Bart and Casey on the front. So I'm sure that every time there's somebody new in the cast filling those roles, when those guys eventually stop, then they'll have somebody else printed on that shirt. So you got to do your best to get those on there.
You know what would be cool?
Huh?
Get one of those shirts and change the faces for ours.
Okay, that's where we need some of our graphic design friends out there.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
I'll be Doc. You can be Marty.
Nice.
Nice. Speaking of nice, where can our Fluxies reach out to us?
You can always send us an email or a voice memo to whatthefluxpod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at whatthefluxpod. As well as Facebook, and Instagram is whatTheFlux_pod.
Everybody got that?
I think so.
Can we just quote him Spaceball today?
Yeah, you are.
We are grateful. We also have our store, folks. Try to give it a shout out. Take a look. Buy something.
Please.
Yeah, go buy something. Be nice. Caitlin's got like 10 kids.
Oh, it's me who has 10 kids this week? Yeah, it was you the other week.
Yeah, well, I had to get rid of. Yeah, I had to sell them because nobody's
money. Yeah, so I bought them, and now I'm out of money. And they're my kids now.
Congratulations!
Oh, thank you.
They're cute kids, though. Other than that, folks, we are very excited always for this play, for you guys, everyone to see this play.
Make your way to New York City and go check it out.
I might be going. I don't know if I can go on opening night. But I'm going to be going in December to New York. So I'm definitely planning to see it there. And even though I saw it already, I'm so excited.
Help
me, I'm poor. here's a quarter, lady.
Save the clock tower.
And speaking of save the clock tower, folks, we got to go.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, my mom just picked me up. So we got to go.
From your own house?
That's how bad things are. I'm moving out.
I'm moving out.
My name is Eugene.
I'm Caitlin.
That's right. I can testify.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. And as always, we are thanking you so much for listening to our lovely show. Thank you for supporting our podcast as always.
Yes.
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 Yes. And whether it be the future
or the past.
What comes next?
We'll see you next time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Whether it be the future
or the past. I'm leaving this in. This is brilliant here. How about I go? Yeah, yeah. Whether it be the future
the past.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to What the Flux. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at whatTheFlux_pod. Please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. And be sure to recommend us to your other time-traveling friends.
Hasta la bye-bye!